Thank you for your love and goodness. And we do want to give you the praise and the thanks that we do have a solid rock in the Lord Jesus and in your word. We just pray, Father, to rest ourselves in that rock and realize, Lord, that all other ground is sinking sand. And Lord, help us to build our beliefs, help us to build our goals, our dreams, everything upon your word, upon the solid rock. And Father, we just pray that as we talk some this morning about forgiveness, Lord, that you would just help us to see how much you've forgiven us, Lord, that we would find it easy to forgive others. And we just pray for you to work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the situation for this guy, I know he probably in his mid-20s. The situation for this guy is that he was in, it's called AD, alternative direction, I think is what it is. What it is, it sounds like it's kind of like a halfway house where you're not in jail, but you're not out on your own. And you can go there and have a job and work. And this guy was there, but he left without serving all of his time that he had to be there. And he had a struggle with, I don't know if it was his fiance, girlfriend, children, whatever, having a place to live. And so he justified it in his mind that it was acceptable for him to leave there, even though he hadn't served all of his sentence, to try to help out with his situation with his fiance, girlfriend, and children. Well, basically what ended up happening is somebody called the police on him. And they came and arrested him in front of his children. And, well, I don't know. I try to give the truth because the truth is the only thing that's going to help anybody. And so, you know, I talked about the verse in John. You know, the truth is what sets us free. You know, so if I don't give you the truth, I'm not helping you at all. Well, the guy was like, you know, he had it all in his mind determined that he was justified to leave the place without serving his full sentence because of the situation with his family, which, you know, on the surface, if you know, you could see how somebody would deceive themselves into thinking that. But then the thing came up where it was like the, I don't know, the stepdad or the girlfriend or something. I'm not totally positive, but he called the police and had the guy arrested because he knew that he had warrants out on him because he hadn't served all of his time. Well, this guy was determined that that was unforgivable. Well, and I started off with, you know, this other person would have never been in this situation if you would have just continued to serve your time like you were supposed to. Oh, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. He didn't like that. He did not like that. How can you blame me? Or I don't know exactly what he said. But that's what makes it interesting going out there. You never know how people are going to respond. You never know what they're going to say. But the gist of the matter is, we're never justified in being unforgiving. Never. And it doesn't matter what's happened. I mean, I remember, I don't know how long ago it would have been, but a guy out there saying like one of his friends got killed. You know, and he was struggling with forgiving the person that had killed him. You know, but even that guy knew that it was the right thing to do. I mean, yes, we struggle with stuff like that. I mean, that would be a grave loss, you know, having one of our friends killed or family members killed. But he knew it was the right thing to do, even in spite of that. But this other gentleman, he had his mind made up that he wasn't going to forgive, and the other guy didn't deserve forgiveness. I think really what it came down to was pride. He was very embarrassed by being arrested in front of his children. And I think that's what kind of set him off. But yet he doesn't understand that the reason that he had to be arrested is because he himself broke the law. And then he was put in jail. And then he broke the law again by leaving before he should have. But you know, that's the world. That's us at times, not taking personal responsibility. And that is what, you know, that's what God wants for us, is for us to be personally responsible. But let's look in Acts here, chapter 5, in verse 29. Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And really, before any of us, any person can really understand forgiveness, they first have to be forgiven by God. I mean, that's the beginning point. Because really, people can't really understand the need to forgive others or the need for others to forgive them until they're right with God. Because just like this gentleman who I didn't get to the point of knowing whether he believed he was saved or not, but the beginning point really to be able to give forgiveness is to realize God gave us forgiveness. And the beginning point for us to be able to receive forgiveness is the same place. But the point here is it all starts with Jesus, just like everything in life does. Everything in life starts and ends with Jesus. It's what you know, for the lost man, what are you going to do with Jesus? For saved people, what are you going to do with Jesus today? As far as, are we going to let him be Lord of our life, our words, our thoughts, our actions, everything? Or are we going to try to be on the throne ourselves? But it all begins with Jesus. Verse 31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. He is the savior. He is the savior. He's the one, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to heal the sick, as far as spiritually speaking. And then forgiveness of sins. That's what he wants for everybody. That's what he wants for everybody. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Pastor mentioned the whole idea of Calvinism and the sovereignty of God and so forth. The exact point of what he was saying escapes me right now, but you know, some people think, well, Jesus only died for the elect. Well, no, he didn't. He died for everybody. He died for everybody because he wants all men to be saved. But in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men, excuse me, count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. God wants everybody to come to repentance. It says there in the end of the verse, everybody. And some people think, well, I've done too many wrong things. There's nobody in that situation. Nobody. Nobody. And I tried to bring out the fact, you know, Moses committed murder. God forgave him. You know, David, for all intents and purposes, committed murder when he had the general there have Uriah go into the heat of the battle, purposefully. But God forgives. You know, and so that's something we need to take to heart. You know, God forgives no matter what it is. Now, we need to be careful we don't go out and just do it and test God. But the point is, when things happen, God forgives. And let's turn to we're right here, 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the problem for us comes with verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. It's important. You know, let God show us. You know, let's not make God's job more difficult than it needs to be. Not to mention the fact, let's not make what we have to deal with more difficult than it needs to be, where God has to discipline us because of the struggles we deal with. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's look there really quick, 1 Timothy 2. So really the beginning point of all the idea of forgiveness is, you know, has a person received God's forgiveness? Because if we haven't, then, you know, the forgiveness we seek from others or the forgiveness we give to others, you know, as a lost person, it's just self-serving. That's all it is. It's just self-serving. Let's start in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so, the beginning point here is that we receive forgiveness. Let's go to Acts 26. Acts 26, that we receive forgiveness, that we have things right with God. And that even goes for after we've been born again. Because if we're struggling with something, if we have something against somebody else, then, you know, the connection's not right with God. Because if we don't have things right with other people, God can't teach us the way he wants to. The Holy Spirit is quenched in, as far as his ministry, trying to help us to know certain things, leading us to do certain things. And so really, and as I told this young man and the rest of the guys there, we're really hurting ourselves. When we're not forgiving, we're really hurting ourselves. Let's see. We'll start in Acts 26, and we're going to start in verse 15. Acts 26:15. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. But that's the purpose that Jesus came. You know, a lot of people, they get mixed up and they think Jesus came so they can be wealthy. They can have a big house. They think Jesus came because he wants to take away all their sickness. He doesn't want, they're never going to be sick again. Well, and we know, I mean, that's most of the time the charismatics, that's just not true. I mean, Paul himself had the thorn in the flesh, probably an eye problem, you know, that God said, you know what, you got to deal with this. You got to deal with this. Now, it's important that we don't begin to try to explain everything, because we don't always know why. But that's where faith comes in. Because, you know, when we stop being able to see, then we're walking by faith, not by sight. And so we need to understand forgiveness of sins. And that's the beginning point for, let's turn to Ephesians 1. That's the beginning point for any kind of forgiveness manward. Whether others forgiving us or us forgiving them is the right relationship with the Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 6, Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back. We just read there in Acts 26 about how we're a child of Satan. We're in his realm. We're in his kingdom. And then when we get saved, we're a child of God. But we've been redeemed. We've been bought back. So verse 7 again, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You know, a lot of what people want to say, well, what difference does it make if Jesus' blood was shed? Well, because the Bible says that that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no remission. When cancer is in remission, it's no longer active. And when the penalty for sin is in remission, it no longer has an impact upon us. But we have redemption. We have through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's all about God's grace. But until we've actually received God's grace personally, it's really hard to extend grace to other people. It's, in fact, really, it's impossible. And until we are living, until our mind is understanding the grace of God, not only in the forgiveness of our sins to be saved, but also day by day when we fail, it's hard to extend that same type of grace to anybody else. I mean, we all know we fail each other. I mean, our spouses, for sure, know more about us than they really... We're glad they know more about us than they want to share. You know, because it's not a good picture all the time. It's not a good picture. But once we receive God's forgiveness, once we see what we've been forgiven from, the penalty of sin, we have a humbler heart. And that's such a big key. Let's look in Matthew 18. Matthew 18. One of the things that the Lord kind of impressed upon my heart is this whole issue of forgiveness has to do with humility. Because until we humble ourselves, we can't receive forgiveness from God. And until we humble ourselves, we aren't going to go to somebody else and ask them for forgiveness for something we've done wrong. And unless we have humility, we're not going to forgive somebody else who's wronged us. We're gonna be prideful and stubborn about it. But humility is it's the foundation for all of this area of forgiveness. So Matthew 18 and verse 1. Matthew 18, 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, Except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so humility. We cannot be saved without humility. Let's look in Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 18. The longer I live, the more I see the place that humility has got to play in my life. It's got to play in everybody's life. I mean, we know that God resists the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. You know, James 4, I think it says, and 1 Peter someplace in there, twice it says it. If I don't have God's grace, there's no hope as far as pleasing him, you know, being a servant of anybody else, it's not going to work. But Psalm 34:18 here, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. That's humility. That's all it is. It's realizing, you know what, I don't have anything in myself to offer God. I don't have anything of myself to serve God with. Now, at times I've thought that, you know, and if we're honest with ourselves, we've all thought that at one time or another that, you know, we were really doing something for God, but it was just the flesh. You know, we've got to have a broken heart for God to be nigh unto us. And save as such is to be of a contrite spirit. God will not save anybody that's not broken over their sin. He's not going to save them. He's not going to bring salvation to them. And that was the case for each one of us. We had to see that as a result of our sin, we were under the wrath of God. We were under wrath of God. We were by nature the children of wrath. Ephesians 2, I think, says that. And until we humbled ourselves and got to a place of realizing whatever age it was, as a little child, as a teenager like myself, whatever age it was, until we humbled ourselves, there was never salvation brought to us. Because God, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And God is not going to do anything with them, and God can't do anything with them. But we have to be humble to receive salvation that God provides, excuse me, for us. Let's now turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. And this is one of the points I tried to bring out with the young man out there about how we're really harming ourselves when we don't forgive. It's kind of like we're really harming ourselves when we don't have faith. We just don't take God at his word and believe him. You know, it could be physical issues, financial issues, whatever it might be. We got to take God at his word. He's going to provide for our needs. He's going to provide for our needs. He's going to take care of us. You know, we have the promise, and it's kind of far off, but whatever ailment we're dealing with physically, we will no longer deal with someday. Now, it might be the day that on earth he removes whatever physical problem we have, but it might be in heaven. It might be here on earth, but it might be in heaven. But Matthew chapter 6 here, and we'll start reading in verse 13. Matthew 6, 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It can't be any plainer. You know, we're really only harming ourselves. Because what we fail to understand at times, I think, is not only is there a problem with the person that we won't forgive, but we're sinning against God when we do that. And so now there's a problem between us and God. And the communication lines are broken. You know, we're not going to get out of his word what we should get. You know, God's not, when we have iniquity in our heart, God's not going to hear our prayers. You know, so we need to make sure that we realize it's much larger. Because see, what we do is we get really tunnel vision on, well, that person, and that's what that young man was dealing with. He had tunnel vision on, that person did this to me. And like I said, I really believe the core of the matter was his pride. You know, how dare that person cause this to happen where I get arrested in front of my children? You know, and then because of that, he was blinded to the fact that he caused the whole thing. Because if he would have stayed where he was supposed to and continued to serve a sentence until it was over, would have never even happened. Would have never even happened. But when we don't forgive others, we ourselves are harmed in our relationship, excuse me, with the Lord. Let's look also in, let's see, Matthew 18. Again, Matthew 18. Matthew 18 and, excuse me, verse 15. Matthew 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that is, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? You know, we might think, wow, seven times. You know, and I've mentioned this before. You know, wow, seven times, that's a lot. You know, that's a lot of times. You know, that's more times than what the law requires for a payback if somebody steals. You know, so it's like four or five times the amount, you know. This is even more than that. But, you know, this is the key for everybody. We have to see how many times Jesus forgives us. I mean, that's the real key. I'm not talking about to be saved, obviously. I'm talking about day by day. Just day by day. And that really has, and that's why our salvation and our day-to-day walk is so much the foundation of being a forgiving person. It's the Holy Spirit reminding us, how many times has God forgiven you today? Way more than what this person is asking. But it seems like Peter's kind of puffed up a little bit. Wow, I'm going to forgive him till seven times. I'm going way beyond, you know. Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And obviously Jesus is saying, as many as it takes. As many as it takes. Let's hold our place here and go to Luke 17. Hold our place here and go to Luke 17. Luke 17 and verse 3. Luke 17, 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And obviously, you know, on the part of the offender, repentance is important. Repentance is important. But sometimes our patience runs thin. Sometimes my patience runs thin. But we need to look at what Jesus said. It's not just seven times. It's 70 times seven. And this is in a day. You know, so we might have some mental limit of what we will tolerate in our disposal, and we need to make sure that we apply that in our relationships with other people. Well, back to Matthew 18 then. Matthew 18, verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payments to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And we know this sum of money, he had no hope of doing that. I mean, there was just no way. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. I mean, we can just see the desperation in this man's life. There's no way to pay. His wife, he's being sold, his wife's being sold, children being sold, all he has is being sold. His whole life is crumbling. I mean, can you imagine the desperation of some foreign power came in and, you know, they're surrounding your house with machine guns and come out and, you know, they burn the whole place to the ground after you get out, and then they take your children one way, your wife one way, and you a different way? That'd be some serious desperation. Then verse 28, he's got a short memory. Verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And see, this is the side of the story we need to be careful we're not on. Because when we forgive how much we have been forgiven, when we forget, that's what I'm trying to say, when we forget how much we've been forgiven, then we have a tendency to be like this, not forgiving toward other people as we should. But when we realize the size of the debt, spiritually speaking, that was forgiven, what other people do to us is minor. It really is. You know, not to mention, you know, when we really are in the Word and love the Word, you know, the Bible tells us that great peace of them that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, and a lot of times the way this should work is that, you know, everything that somebody does wrong, we don't necessarily have to bring up. We can just not be offended and move on. Forgive them already and not have it even be an issue. But verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Never going to happen. It's not going to happen. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. From our hearts. It can't just kind of be a slight type of thing. It's got to be from the heart. And the only way it's truly going to be from the heart is when we take to heart this idea here of understanding what we have been forgiven. We have to keep that at the front of our minds as we're dealing with other people. As other people fail us, it's going to happen. I know some of you wives might think your husband is just, you know, up there on the pedestal and he can do no wrong. Okay, maybe not. But it's going to happen. We are going to fail each other. You know, and I use this idea before, you know, we get kind of grumpy sometimes when people do certain things to us. But, you know, sometimes we get kind of grumpy when people don't do things we think they should do. And it's the same thing with our words. You know, somebody might say something or say something a certain way, and we're like, what did they mean by that? Probably nothing. And even if they did, don't get offended, because it's not anything to be worried about. You know, but then sometimes we wonder, well, why didn't they say this or why didn't they say that? You know, sometimes the mind, it does things, and we just need to let it go. We just need to let it go. Don't let the mind wander like that. We need to take every thought, every thought captive. And then let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Basically, we just need to lay self aside. Don't worry about what they meant. Don't worry about why they didn't do something or did do something. Just don't worry about self. You know, just have humility and be focused on the Lord, and then be focused on serving other people as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. What is he talking about? He's talking about the situation with the immorality in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, he's trying to urge them to do the right thing, but he wants them to do the right thing with the right spirit and attitude and not, you know, be depressed, so to speak, over the situation. Verse 4, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. The world turns everything around, and contemporary Christianity turns most things around. And basically, you know, we got into a discussion on Thursday night also about, you know, one of the big things this guy said was, well, judge not. This guy judged me. He was wrong. I'm like, okay, well, read the whole section. You know, read the whole, don't just read Matthew 7, 1. Read on down through 5. Read the whole thing. It's not forbidding judgment. It's forbidding hypocritical judgment. But that wasn't what he wanted to hear. You know, he just wanted to be justified in what he was doing. But essentially, the truth of the matter is, when we really love somebody, we give them the truth. We give them the truth. Now, we need to be careful that we do it with the right spirit, the right tone of voice, and so on. But when we truly love them, we give them the truth. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is the punishment which was inflicted of many. And they're talking about the discipline that was inflicted upon the immoral person in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him. You know, if we really have the mind of God about forgiving others, it's going to be more than just, yeah, I forgive you. We'll actually try to comfort them. You know, because if they're truly repentant, we want to comfort them so that we can be an encouragement to them to not fall back into that same sin. You know, so it's more, because see, sometimes I think we do it, yeah, I forgive you. You know, we kind of do it begrudgingly. You know, and we need to be careful that we don't do it begrudgingly, but that we really do it from the heart. And then we go beyond forgiving, but we also comfort them. Because we all know some of the knuckleheaded things we've done. And we're like, why did I do that? You know, remember a few weeks ago it was Confessions of a Knucklehead about how I hadn't figured out all these years about my wife and how something was important to her. Well, I don't have any more confessions like that yet, but give me a week or two. I'll probably have a few. But the point is we comfort them. You know, not just forgive them, but comfort them. And then as we continue on the verse here, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. You know, because sometimes people do really, really foolish things and they get to a point of desperation about how bad they feel. And we want somebody to actually receive the forgiveness and get back on track and serve in the Lord. And so that's important too. You know, it starts with us receiving forgiveness. You know, and realizing the size of the debt that God has forgiven us. And realizing that the debt that other people owe us when they wrong us, it's minor. But then it goes beyond that to forgiving them, but also comforting them, helping them. Seeing them, see, because what happens is they wrong us and then we take it personally. But what needs to happen is they wrong us, we need to forgive them, and then we need to try to have them be a ministry as far as encouraging them, giving them some scripture to help, you know, praying for them and so forth. So it goes beyond that, and that's important for all of us to remember. But essentially, as I already mentioned, it's about humility. It's really about humility. It's about humility toward God. It's about humility toward others, and not taking it personally, and then also seeing how God can use us to be a help to the person, you know, rather than harboring problems. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your love, and we thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, the forgiveness that you provided in salvation, that we could be born again, that we could have our sins forgiven, that we could have a home in heaven, we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness day by day, Lord. And just pray, Father, that that same grace you show us, that we'd show one another. Just help us, Lord, to focus on our relationships with others, that we might be servants of you and them, that we might be used to be a minister one to another. Just strengthen us for that task and just lead, guide, and direct in the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.